Welcome to The Daily Drive. This show is dedicated to keeping you educated, informed, and most importantly, driven to succeed. We want your feedback, so call us at 1-800-437-5121. Everyone on The Daily Drive Show team hopes you enjoy this show. Here's your host, Ken Knorr.
Welcome to The Daily Drive. I'm really glad that you came by today. We've got a fantastic interview lined up today with Barbara Cenero. She's with 412 Labs, and she has a very interesting story. I can't wait to get the chance to talk to her. She's on the phone line now.
Welcome to the show, Barbara. How are you today?
Nice. Thank you for inviting me. And always good when it's sunny outside, so, you know.
Absolutely. So it's funny that you mentioned the weather. Where are you located, Barbara?
Currently in Annapolis, Maryland.
Nice. What's the weather like there today?
Today we do have some sun. You know, it's funny. I was saying that kind of jokingly, but the reality is, you know, it's a lot easier for me to think and operate when the weather's nicer. So
it helps with the attitude, I'm sure. So you have a long history as being an entrepreneur, and actually you've had a long history of helping other entrepreneurs as well. Mm-hmm. What are you doing today? What is it that you do today?
So most of my time work-wise is dedicated to my agency. We have a marketing agency for churches and Christian ministries. And little by little, we have been transitioning to a training program. This is through kind of like a side. It started as a side thing, and soon enough, it became a thing on its own. The agency is called Word Revolution, and the training program is 412 Lab, and that's what has been taking my time recently. You know, that's where I spend most of my days.
So Word Revolution has to do mm-hmm. with the name of the company just intrigues me. So tell me what mm-hmm. Word Revolution means.
Well, that has to do with my own personal past. I've been an entrepreneur all my life, as far as I remember. You know, I only had two bosses in the past, and one of them was right out of college, and the other one was when I first moved to Latin America. And since then, I've been on my own. I had many businesses. Web design and marketing was not my first endeavor, so I started with things like dance studios, catering companies, teaching people how to cook, teaching Portuguese or doing translation. So all sorts of things as I decided, you know, I want to do this entrepreneur thing. I didn't even know it had a name back then. It was just like, I don't want a boss.
Right.
Okay. Like at the end of the day, it was me saying, I don't want a boss. So, and I wanted the flexibility of doing things my way and whenever I wanted to do them. So at the end of the day, I've always been in business trying to figure things out until about 10 years ago when I moved to Annapolis. My faith had a pivotal moment where, you know, I was basically had this huge encounter with Jesus, and I decided it was time to take it seriously. And from that moment on, I thought, okay, now that I'm seeing life differently and I have a different purpose, I thought I was supposed to let my business go. And at the end of the day, that was not what I was being called to do. I was just being called to redirect, use my talents differently and my gifts differently, my experience differently. And the name is a result of, you know, being confronted with the Word of God and having the Bible as the center point of my faith and my life. So therefore the name, that's where it comes from.
That's awesome. And you have to give up 412.
Yeah, so 412 Lab is based on one verse of the Bible. It's Ephesians 4:12. It talks about equipping people. And the training program has that as a goal, which is to equip people for communication and marketing. At the end of the day, churches are marketing themselves one way or another. So they mostly call it church communication, but that's what I do. I just help them jumpstart that communications department, train them on how to be effective with what they do.
So when I was reading some of the materials to prepare to talk with you today, I saw that you mentioned you work with accidental communicators. What does that mean, accidental communicators?
Right. Well, you know, in the business world, I think we see that as well. But it's very common in the church world. where it starts with a question that sounds like this. Oh, you know enough of the internet. Help us do our website. Or you have a Mac. Help us with some design. And normally the person that ends up doing the marketing or the communication or the printing materials or the website is normally just someone that is a little bit more tech savvy. So instead of, you know, going the professional route, they start with the let's just try it ourselves, and who's the person within this group of people that has the I don't know, you know, either the talent or seems like it's a little bit more savvy. So normally it starts with a secretary or someone in the church who's a graphic designer, and that person accidentally becomes this church communicator. And the reason why I say this is because it's so common, and I see that in businesses as well, startups or small mom-and-pop shops, but it's very, very common in the church. So therefore, the accidental, most of the people that work with us have started with, hey, I didn't even know I was applying for the job, but suddenly I had this extra hat. And so they basically get the title, get the responsibility, but it was never something they applied for. So they may not even have the right skills to do it. They're just the one with the most skills within the group, if that makes sense. So
it totally makes sense. And so you provide deeper training for them to make them professional communicators or become professional communicators rather than just accidental communicators.
Exactly. So it's the where to start. Most of the struggles that I see within my niche is really not lack of resources. You know, there's blogs and books and videos and podcasts. I mean, you have access to way more information than we've ever had in the past. The question is, in the middle of all of this, where do I start? How do I get this thing going? Or how do I get to that the level of this over here? And the first steps are normally the hardest ones to identify, but they may be the simplest ones to do. And that's the fun part for me is, when I show them, hey, this is where you start, it makes so much sense. And from there, they're able to take the next step and the next step and the next step. But before you start, you really have no clue where to begin. And so even the materials that you're learning and the books you're buying, it's hard for you to apply them at the way you should because, again, you're kind of like in this spaghetti mess of information and data instead of saying, okay, this is the beginning, this is the end. Have a goal and let's trace that back to your starting point. So we help them with that.
Yeah, I imagine it can be overwhelming. So mm-hmm. you cannot separate, I'm sure. You had this moment, this personal moment in faith, but at that time you were a marketer. Is that accurate? Yes?
Yes. Yes. I think there's a big chunk of my heart that has always been in marketing, communications, and PR. It is my degree. That's what I studied in college. So I have this huge passion for it. And so the pivotal moment in my faith was just that, you know, catalytic moment, I guess, that just basically gave me the purpose that I was missing. But the path has always been there.
And so you, and I just have, it's just curiosity asking now, that marketer in you, you decided to apply that towards a passion of your faith, mm-hmm. but how big can you quantify? How big is the church market? It sounds like you're working a niche yes. in the church market. And what does that market look like?
At first, I had the misconception that you know there's no money in the church; they're not spending in marketing, and no one is going to pay for the services that I have to provide. And there's also that, you know, compassionate part of me that just wants to do it with no cost and, which is obviously not realistic, but, it comes from a place of wanting to help. And so I operated within that misconception for a little while. I was, even, you know, offering several of my services for free to some local churches. But the moment where it really clicked for me was after finishing a business training program, with YouGurus. I think you had Brent recently in the show, you know, there's this eye-opening moment of understanding that operating in a niche doesn't mean it has to be a huge niche. I just need to identify who they are and solve a real problem for them. And I knew I could solve a specific problem for these churches. And so until I attended a conference for church leaders and I was faced with 3,000 people that had literally got themselves into a airplane to fly for this, to this conference, and there was, I believe, over 200 exhibitors. I'm thinking, well, every single one of these exhibitors is investing in this market. There's 3,000 people that paid a ticket to fly here to, you know, they got hotel, transportation, meals, they're not working. So there's definitely money in the niche. I've just been taking impressions from the base of the mountain instead of looking at the mountain, you know, as a whole. So the minute I realized there is money being invested, there is a problem that needs to be solved, and I have the key to solve that problem so I can bring value, it no longer was an issue of, you know, should I do this thing for free? It started more as a, how much value can I bring them instead of how much can I charge?
Absolutely. You know, you said that you had you identified that there was a market, that there was money in the market, there was a need, and that you had a key. But I think one of the most successful things for an entrepreneur that makes any entrepreneur truly successful is passion. How important do you think passion is in what you do as compared to maybe doing something else that you don't have the same passion for?
That's great that you asked that question, because for a while during that business program, I thought, okay, this is my passion niche, and that's actually how I used to describe it. Now I need to find my money-making niche, and I thought I had to have two because there's no money in the passion one, right? So soon enough, when I realized I can make this one work, the next realization for me was saying, wow, I love doing what I do to the point where it doesn't feel like I'm working most of the time. And I really mean this. When I'm on vacation, sometimes we have some days off, we take the kids somewhere, I really just want to do the things that I do for my niche. I love doing it. And it's hard for me sometimes to, you know, think of other things besides work, not because of stress, but because I just really enjoy doing it. And sometimes I would prefer to do that and, you know, take care of my clients and my, especially the graduates, the people that have been through training program than, you know, sitting somewhere just reading a book. So anyway, my way of relaxing is really interacting with these people and seeing what they're doing and helping them out. And sometimes it's just a chat. It's nothing beyond that, but passion will take you a long way. I think it gives you that extra push, that motivation to keep going. And obviously it gives you compassionate attention to people and their issues instead of just being based on, well, what can I sell today, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You just nailed it. I think you nailed the whole point to having passion. It gives you that extra push. I think that entrepreneurs that do something for money and money alone, when they reach a difficult moment or they reach a difficulty in their business, they don't have the energy to push through it. Passion can solve that for you.
Yes. And, you know, as far as goals are concerned, I think there's different types of win situations when you have a passion for what you're doing, besides just the numbers that, you know, in your P&L.
I told you that was going to be a fantastic interview, and it was, without a doubt. You want to talk about a CEO that has her why down, why she does things. She really does understand what she wants out of life and what she wants out of being a business leader. That was a fantastic thing to learn today. I hope that you get a chance to join us again tomorrow. And we're going to have more CEO interviews lined up in the future shows coming forward. And I hope to talk to you then. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, That Company.
Why should you work with That Company as your white label provider for digital marketing instead of those other guys? Because we get results for your clients. That's why we're the digital marketing provider of choice for some of the biggest agencies in the industry. You just don't know it.
If you want to give us feedback, call us now at 1-800-437-5121 or drop by dailydriveshow.com. Make sure you add us to your Alexa daily briefing skill. Don't forget that you can listen to us live every day on WQBQ at 7:30 a.m. The show wouldn't be possible without the Daily Drive Show team, web guru Taj Royer, executive producer Josh Cardoza, and the social media man with the plan, Roy Wilson. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow.